it's a charge given to us. You know, when you steward somebody else's money, you steward someone else's property, the elder has a responsibility to steward the church of God. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So we see in this Titus text, it's not only a shepherding role, it's a governing role, and there are definite character qualifications that go with it, but at times it has a correctional element to it, the role of elder. There are times when you have to correct people. You have to challenge people. But it's to be done in a way. It's to be done in humility. It's to be done with grace. But there, Paul says in another place, I think it's in Timothy, he says, you know, reprove, rebuke, and correct with great patience and instruction, for not all will endure sound doctrine. So that's another one of the roles of the elder, is we are to guard, as it were, and protect the doctrine of the church. And that's a safety thing for us, because there's lots of weird teaching out there. There's lots of stuff that is harmful to the saints of God. Now here's a second text. Let's look at it. It's in 1 Timothy. Are you guys still with me? All right. This is Paul's letter to another son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." Now, just a couple of things here I wanted to point out. First of all, verse 1, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, there has to be a certain aspiring to the role. You have to want to do it. What an elder doesn't need to do is just say yes because the church needs it, but he doesn't really aspire to it. In other words, you don't want to do it out of just obligation. It's almost like a call. You feel called to the role. You know, people go through different phases and seasons in their life, and you know, some for a man who meets these qualifications, and we'll talk about those a little bit more in a second, but there may be a season in a man's life where he's not functioning in that way in an official capacity. But he may move into a season where something stirs in his heart and the church recognizes it, and he steps into that role. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So if the aspiration to the office isn't present, then you shouldn't do it. And so we've, as some of our guys, we've been meeting and talking about these things for a couple of months probably, and we've talked about this, and this is an important aspect. So you have to aspire to the office. The second thing in this text that I just wanted to bring out is you have to be able to teach the word. Okay? Now that doesn't mean you have to be Billy Graham. The man has to have a It doesn't even mean the man has to have a preaching gift, because teaching Teaching happens in different contexts. You can stand up and teach like I am doing right now, or you could teach in a small group setting. You might be a teacher more of a one-to-one discipling setting, but an elder will have the capacity in some capacity to be able to teach the Word of God faithfully and truthfully and accurately. It doesn't mean he necessarily has a public preaching gift, even though he might. Does that make sense? So, I think you get that. And then another thing I wanted to point out, too, is he must be well thought of by outsiders. He needs to have a decent reputation in the community. You know, not everybody's going to like you. It's not that, but you have a decent reputation in the community. This is God's church we're dealing with, and this is a serious subject. And let me just say, too, here, you know, we've read through the Titus text and we've read through Timothy, and you read these requirements and you go, wow, who's going to qualify? So, I mean, I read those and I get intimidated. It's like, God, do I even qualify? You know? So this is not a list of perfection, all right? Because if you had to be perfect, nobody would qualify. Nobody could do the job. But these are character traits that need to be present in an elder's life, and on a scale, you need to be moving in the right direction. Let's put it that way. And these character traits need to be observable, and if people read this and they look at me and they say, yeah, that, generally speaking, is the arc of his life. It's not a checklist of perfection, because nobody would qualify. So, okay. Now, just real quickly, let's just talk about the role of the elder, and I'm going to go pretty quickly through these things. The first thing, which I already mentioned, is, number one, is that elders are shepherds. Both the Old and New Testaments repeatedly employ the metaphor of shepherding to describe the leadership of God's people. The New Testament in particular does this. In Acts 20:28, Paul is talking to the elders in Acts there, and he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And then you have 1 Peter 5:1-4. This addresses the shepherding role. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So there's a reward associated with this, the unfading crown of glory. That sounds wonderful. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's a real crown, and it doesn't fade. It probably rocks, okay? It's probably really wonderful. More than we could even describe or even imagine. So we are to shepherd the flock of God willingly and gladly. And the second thing, I'm going to go through these quickly. The second point restates the first, but it bears repeating. Elders are pastors. The word pastor means shepherd. And so as we grow into this, we want to look at Jeff and Les and myself and anybody else that the Lord should add to the team as fellow pastors in the body. Jesus' church, and this is one of the great weaknesses of the church in America, usually there's one pastor and everybody kind of looks at him as the guy with all the answers and all the skill, and he's the pastor and all of that. And the problem with that is it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Every church has multitudes of multiple people who have a pastoral gift. And ladies, that even I'm not saying you won't function in an elder role, but sometimes even ladies function in a shepherding role for people. Okay, so as we grow into this, we need to be encouraging one another and recognizing how God has gifted us. And guys, I just want to say, if God wants to move you into more of a shepherding role with people, embrace it. And he will empower you to do what he's called you to do. So elders are shepherds, elders are pastors. And I hope I'm making sense. Number three, elders are plural. Okay, we always find elders in the New Testament churches, elders in the plural. Look at Acts 15:4. It says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. And then Acts 20:17 says, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And then Titus 1:5, where Paul says to Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remains into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So it's a plural thing. There's going to be more than one. And it's like a team. It's team ministry. Okay? And it's the elder team, the collective shepherding ministry of the elders in the church. Number four, elders must be godly. The New Testament job descriptions for elders focus largely on character qualities, as we saw in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. They must be self-controlled, sensible, holy, hospitable, can't be drunkards or bullies or money grubbers. Elders must be above reproach. And then number five, they should model, not only be godly, they should model godliness. The elders' character matters because the elders model Christian maturity for the church. 1 Peter 5:3, for instance, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders and those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So, we are to model the character of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the beauty of Christ in the context of the local church. Perhaps some of y'all remember, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. You remember people, men, godly men and women, but we're talking about elders this morning, godly men that really made an impact on you. And I can remember when I went to seminary, it's actually when I met my wife at James Avenue Baptist Church. And a great church. It was a very, very charismatic Southern Baptist church down the street from the seminary. And lots of interesting stories about our time there. But there was a man there named Howard Weibel, and he has since gone to be with Jesus, but he was probably in his late 60s or early 70s, and he was the most humble, kind, Christ-like man I think I had ever met. And he was an elder in the church. And he was just, you know how you meet some people and you're just drawn to them, just like Velcro. You just want to be with them. You want to hang on every word that they say. You want to be in their presence. They're so full of grace and so full of wisdom. And I've never forgot this man. That's how much of an impact he had on me. And he modeled these leaders that Hebrews 13:7 mentions, who speak the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Howard was a man like that. Another man like that, later on, when I was on staff at Restoration Church in Dallas, was the pastor there, Doug White. He was a shepherd with a happy heart. He was probably in his early 60s, mid-60s, I don't know. I don't know, the age doesn't really matter, but he was so humble and so gracious and so kind, and he just had a ton of spiritual authority. Have you ever just known? You just sense it. You just get around them, and they don't have to prove it. It's just in their character. It's in their words. And it's like every time he would say something, you're just like, thank you, God. I just got a word from God. And he might have just said, good morning. You know? But that's the way he was. And so I'm saying all that to say that an elder in a local church isn't, you know, the loudest. It isn't the most successful businessman. It's those who model and who live out the nature of Jesus to the flock. Does that make sense? And they're going to be humble, and they're not going to be bullies. Okay. I already mentioned that elders should be able to teach, and 1 Timothy 3:2, so that they can build up the church in sound doctrine and refute false teachers. We talked about that. Then elders, the seventh point, and there's only 10, and I'm going really quick. Elders must lead. So I printed off some notes from the book that we went through together, and I'm taking these points from that. But elders have a measure of authority over the local church. That's why the New Testament calls them overseers. And their authority is not absolute or unquestionable, nor should it be exercised in a domineering manner. Yet God calls his shepherds to provide leadership for the flock, and in general, God expects the church to submit to that leadership. Hebrews 13:17. Let's put that up there. Did I give you that one? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Don't be frightened by obey your leaders and submit to them. This isn't about us going around giving people orders and stuff. That's not what we do, how we operate. That's not what that means. Okay? I don't need to break that out, right? You guys sense that there's a godly oversight that takes place in the church, but it doesn't mean we're your boss. Somebody say amen. You get what I'm saying? Thank you. All right, number 8, elder leadership starts at home. If married, an elder should be a one-woman man. This has been quite controversial because nobody's quite sure what Paul is talking about here with the one-woman man thing. Does that mean you can never have been divorced and be an elder, or does it mean one woman at a time in a culture that embraced, what's the word? Polygamy. There was a lot of polygamy in that day. I'm of the opinion that it probably refers to the polygamy aspect, but no one's actually quite sure. But the point is, he's a one-woman man. Okay, and he has a godly marriage. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It just, you know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm really struggling. So, he's going to lead his family. He's going to parent his children well, so they're not out of control, and et cetera, et cetera. And then number 9, the obvious point is that elders must be men. If you're going to be a one-woman man, that kind of means that the role of the elder is a male role. And in our culture today, everybody wants to turn all these things upside down, and even certain streams of the church and different parts of the church want to flip these things upside down. This does not mean that you ladies are inferior at all. This is a role. This is a function. And I believe the scripture clearly teaches that the role of elder in a local church is for godly men. And that's the way God designed it. So, and then number 10, The author of the book said, elders are not Jesus. So I'll just read you what he wrote. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The elders are merely his temporary helpers, 1 Peter 5:4. At their best, elders model Jesus' character, teach Jesus' word, and lead the church by pointing it toward Jesus and his mission. Good elders never lose that awareness that they themselves are sheep. We're sheep too. Okay? Me and Jeff and Les and whoever else God may add to our elder team, we are sheep. And I'm glad, because I don't want to be Jesus. I would be horrible at it. So that's just kind of a 30,000-foot view overview of elders in a church. And it's all, you know, what makes it beautiful and good and righteous and holy is that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers men to function this way in a local church. And I was going to make another point and I forgot it. And it's relational. It's relational. Listen, legitimate spiritual authority in a local church, the best legitimate spiritual authority in a local church always flows through relationship. That's just the best. That's kind of like the highway for it. It flows through a relationship. You know, the elders, each of us, each of us, ministry as an elder is going to look a little different. Okay, it's not like a cookie cutter thing. You know, I'm going to have my strengths. Les have his strengths and weaknesses, and I'll have my weaknesses, and Jeff will have his strengths and weaknesses. So it's not like we're all going to look exactly alike. And we're not all going to have the same level of relationship with everybody. Like, I'm just being really honest here, so kind of manage expectations and stuff. Les is going to be closer to some of you than Jeff is, and Jeff is going to be closer to some of you than Les is, and for me, too. Okay? But that's good, and that's the way God works it out in the ministry of an elder in a church. And this is just a beautiful thing, and it's very healthy, and I'm really excited for it. I flew solo for way too long, and so I apologize for that. I did. I mean, we've had elder boards in the past and all of that, and it's just been a long period of time where I've just been, I haven't been doing it all by myself, but being the only official recognized elder in the church was just not a healthy place to be. So we're bringing that into order, and this is a good thing. Okay? I don't know that I need to say, everybody kind of get the gist of what we're talking about here? So why don't we let's give. Do we have some guys that can help us with the offering this morning?